West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are college radio and we are passionately vocal. This is our academic affairs segment, and today we are joined by teacher assistant Ty Hill. Ty, how are you doing today?
Doing okay, Caden.
So Ty here is a teaching assistant in the science department here at West Liberty. He is a grad student with microbiology is what you specialize in?
No, just general biology.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit of your background about yourself, where you're from, what led you here to West Liberty?
So I'm from Cameron, West Virginia, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. It's a small town. West Liberty is kind of a local option for us. A lot of students from my high school come here. My sister went here, so I was familiar with the school. And I was interested in biology, and our biology program here is excellent. So that really sold me after meeting some of the faculty on a tour. So that's why I'm at West Liberty.
So can you tell us a little bit of what the science department here at West Liberty has to offer students?
So there's a few different departments under the umbrella of the College of Sciences. I spend most of my time in the Department of Biomedical Sciences. That's the department that I'm a part of and what I'm a graduate assistant and a teaching assistant for. So we have a wide array of majors dealing with biomedical sciences, whether that be if you're interested in medicine and you want to go on to PA school or med school, something along those lines. We have a plethora of programs to prepare you for that, vet school. If you're interested in research, we have a lot of research opportunities. That's something that really drew me in. Originally, I came to West Liberty as a pre-med student. That's what I got my undergrad degree in, pre-med biology, with plans to go to med school. And I did research on the side as sort of a way to get some extra experience in the lab and apply some of the science that I was learning. And I really loved it and decided to go all in with that. So I'm pursuing my master's right now. And the research opportunities that we have in the department are like no other for a small school. We really do a lot more research than what you would expect for a university our size. So that's something pretty incredible that we're pretty proud of.
That's awesome. So where did your interest in science start?
So I guess I've always kind of been a nerd. love Star Wars, things like that. That got me into science, I think, as a kid. I liked it from a pretty early age. It's actually funny, though, in high school, I kind of like had a little change of heart almost. At the beginning of my senior year, I was actually going to not take AP biology, take guitar instead. My high school science teacher at the time was like, absolutely not. Like, you're taking AP biology. And just wouldn't let me switch. And I'm so glad that she did. She definitely instilled a lot of confidence and passion for science and for biology in me that year, and set me on the course that I am now.
All right, so you're pursuing your master's here, so you could go to another school to do that. So what is it about our department that made you want to stick around to do it here?
So I got my undergrad here at West Liberty. So I was very familiar with everyone in the department. You know, it's a small school. You know everybody. That was really attractive to me about West Liberty in general. I'm from a small town, from a high school where several of my teachers throughout the years taught my parents, knew my grandparents, you know, knew me before I was even in their class. So the idea of going to a really large school at first kind of made me nervous. So I chose West Liberty right off the bat because of that. And the small school environment and getting to work one-on-one with these professors, getting to know them, led me to opportunities that I never thought I would get. And so I wanted to continue those opportunities. So I started my research here during my undergrad, and now as a master's student, I have the opportunity to carry that on and get to finish what I started. So
with being a grad student, you have the opportunity to be a teacher's assistant. So what courses here have you started teaching?
So I help with some of the lower level courses typically. So I am the TA for anatomy. So the anatomy professors can use me for several classes, but right now, so I do Bio 503, which is Human Anatomy and Physiology Lab for the bridge students that we have here. So I work as a lab instructor for that and also our Gross Anatomy Lab, which is another really unique opportunity that our department offers undergraduate students, the chance to work in a Gross Anatomy Lab and have that kind of experience prior to med school is invaluable. I also I teach the 208 active study. So it's foundations of cell and molecular biology, but there's an active study portion that essentially I serve as like a two-hour-long format tutor for the class and helping prepare them for their exams.
So that's really cool. So with you being new to teaching, how do you like it so far? And do you see it as a potential like job in science that you'd like to go for?
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed teaching so far. My plan is to, I mentioned earlier that I really like research, but I also, I don't want to work in industry, I don't think, so I don't want to do research for like a private company. I would love to get a position as faculty at a university, teach, and have a research lab on the side where I can give undergraduate students the same opportunity to get involved with research that I was given.
So what skills and or wisdom do you hope to instill on your students while you are teaching?
Being that I'm from a very technical field, in terms of skills, there's a lot of technical skills, right, that are going to molecular biology and genetics and cellular biology and things of that nature. So, of course, the obvious answer is all of those. But just also the idea that, you know, even if you come from a small school in the middle of nowhere, if you're passionate about science and you commit to learning and expanding what, you know, we as a species know about the universe around us, like that's the overarching goal of science, and anybody can do that, and anybody can do it and be successful at it. I think that's always been a big motivational drive for me.
I think that's really cool. So overall, what would you say that your overall goal is in the science field?
So of course we'd all like to make the next big breakthrough discovery, and sure, that would be great. I guess my main goal right now is just to focus on the research that I'm doing and you know, contribute to the field that I have been a part of for the past couple of years. But I really like the idea of teaching as well, and passing along what I know and helping others to step up and do something that maybe they never thought they could.
All right. So with all that being said, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Mr. Hill's research and the projects he has done over his last few years here. So we will return in just a moment. Remember, we are WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. West Liberty. You are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. You're listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Here during our academic affairs segment, we are talking to Ty Hill, a grad student and teacher's assistant here at West Liberty. So where we left off, we were talking about the department itself and what it has to offer. Now we're going to talk about Mr. Hill's personal research done during his time here. So, Ty, what all research have you done while you've been here?
So I've been a part of a few different projects that have led to some interesting findings and some published work, which has been really fun. Right now, my main research project, I work with Dr. Racine, who is our anatomy faculty member, and we study a developmental disorder in children. So the disorder is called craniosynostosis, a bit of a mouthful. But essentially, if anyone's familiar with the soft spots on a baby's skull, this is a disorder where those harden and turn to bone prematurely. And so this can cause a whole host of issues. The CDC has some suspicions on what they think could be causing it. It's supported by a couple of studies that it could be caused by something called maternal hyperthyroidism, which is essentially where the thyroid gland of the mom is overactive during pregnancy, and those hormones have an impact on the development of the child, and so it could be causing the skull to fuse prematurely. Now, there are anti-thyroid medications available. However, those are toxic to a developing embryo, so those aren't applicable medications for a pregnant woman. And so my research aims to better understand the mechanism behind that disease development and hopefully to look for another potential drug target that could circumvent that issue.
So how long have you guys been looking into that now?
So our lab is a little bit newer. We've been looking into it for a few years now, which is not really that long in the grand scheme of research. Research goes slowly. Anyone involved with research will tell you that. And so, relatively new lab, but in our short time, we have managed to accomplish a lot. So we're really happy with the progress that we have going.
How many, like, have you made any big findings or anything? Anything that could develop some sort of fix or just better understanding of the disease?
Yeah, so a lot of our early work has been done establishing our model and understanding how exactly we can simulate this disease development and how best to study it. And we've accomplished that, and so now we're moving more so into the actual studying of the mechanism. And so we have had some early success. Our results right now are still very early, so we can't have any definitive answers at the moment. Sadly, we're still years away from that, but we are headed in the right direction, and we are definitely narrowing our focus in on some key targets that we think could play a significant role.
That's awesome. So last year, I know you were doing some sort of experimentation with chicken embryos. Can you tell us what that process was?
Right. So I mentioned earlier that we have been working on validating our model and developing our model. So our model of study works with chicken embryos. So chickens are a commonly used model organism for studying developmental genetics. Funnily enough, even though chickens might not seem like they're very closely related to us, their developmental process, although happening in an egg, is very similar to human development. They develop certain organs and certain pathways around the same point in what would be their developmental period that we do in ours. And so they're a commonly used model, and so that's something that we make use of in our lab to simulate maternal hyperthyroidism, or this state of what's called thyrotoxicosis, in order to see how that could play a role in developing craniosynostosis.
So when doing these sorts of experiments, did you find the results you were looking for?
Yeah, we've had some early successes, like I mentioned. So our model, we've validated it. We're working on writing up a paper right now. Hopefully we will have a preprint copy ready to go soon to be submitted for publication. So we're still working on writing it. Nothing's in review quite yet, but we hope to very shortly publish a paper that encompasses the complete validation of our model and some of our early steps into applying that model as well. So that research has been done. We're just in the process of writing, which, again, like research, goes slowly. But also, we are, furthering our application of that model and starting to find research for the next paper as well. So we're really excited about it.
So how many people are involved with this research project?
So right now it's a pretty small project. We have had a lot of people in our lab come and go. Most of them leave us to go on to med school, which we're so happy for them. I'm proud of them for being able to go and do that. So we've had students in the past that are enrolled in our PA program here, physician's assistant program, or other PA programs or medical programs around the state, which has been really nice. Our numbers have dwindled a bit right now. It is just Dr. Racine, myself, and two undergraduate students that work with us. We would love to expand our team. We definitely need the help. We have a lot of projects that we'd like to get done, and a bigger workforce could get us there. So, yeah, we're definitely open to taking on new students, but it's just the four of us at the moment.
So what other projects and research is your lab looking to get into?
So the lab that I'm a part of will primarily stay focused on this one topic for the foreseeable future. It is such a gargantuan task that it will take years of work across several generations of students that have come and gone in order to get this project to where it needs to be. Like I mentioned several times, research goes slow, but especially at a smaller university, you know, we do a ton of research relative to our size as a school, but that research goes slowly because of that. So right now we have no plans to branch out into other projects. We will be adding new projects in terms of different facets of this same project. So craniosynostosis isn't going anywhere, so we've got a lot of different angles to explore with that. And so we've got no shortage of work, that is for sure. Personally, I have been a part of some other projects, so I've also worked with our zoo science department here. So the department they're a part of is called OBEZ, which stands for Organismal Biology, Ecology, and Zoo Science. And so they had a project where they were wanting to sort of look at a multifaceted problem, which is understanding behavior in snakes. So, you know, certain animals aren't very telling with behavioral cues, and so sometimes it can be difficult to know if, you know, a snake is enjoying something that an element to their enclosure that's been added in, right? So if you want to determine, well, we've added this new thing to a snake's enclosure, does it stress them out? Sometimes that can be a difficult behavior to observe in snakes, and so they want to bridge the gap between behavioral science and molecular biology. So they asked for my help running an experiment called an ELISA, which is something I'd done several times for our lab, which is just a molecular quantification experiment, which allows you to choose a target molecule and find out how much of it is in something. So we were able to take samples from these snakes and measure what's called corticosterone metabolite. So basically, when snakes are stressed out, they produce corticosterone, they break that down, metabolize it, and so we wanted to measure those levels. Higher levels would mean the snake is more stressed out, lower levels means it's less. So that was a really cool project that I got to work on as well.
So have you published any of your own findings, or are you looking into publishing anything?
So the study that I just mentioned, measuring the corticosterone levels in snakes, that is a written and published paper that we have. And as far as our research on craniosynostosis goes, we are in the process of writing and publishing a paper as well as gathering data for the next one. So yeah, just have the one publication right now, but we're really hoping to get a couple more under our belt.
Well, looks like we are just about out of time here. Thank you, Ty Hill, for coming out and doing this interview here. This concludes our academic affairs segment. We are WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal.